Let us pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that You would work through the means that You have promised to feed and nourish our souls. Heavenly Father, we pray for Your blessing now upon the preaching of Your Word. Help us to see the sufficiency of our Savior in the glory of His sacrifice upon the cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 9. Leviticus chapter 9. It is cracking. Maybe. We'll see. I can always turn it off, you know. I don't need it. They may. Leviticus chapter 9. And we'll read verses 1 through 21. 1 through 21 of Leviticus chapter 9. It's been a few months, so last time we looked at Leviticus chapter 8. Profound, I know. But last time we looked at Leviticus 8, and in that chapter the priests were consecrated for their priestly office. Now we are at the moment in time in which the priests, Aaron and his sons, are going to perform the very first sacrifices for God's people in the tabernacle. And so here we are at Leviticus chapter 9. It came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel, and he said to Aaron, "Take for yourself a young bull as a sin offering and a ram as a burnt offering without blemish, and offer it before the Lord. And to the children of Israel you shall speak, saying, Take a kid of the goat as a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year without blemish, as a burnt offering. Also a bull and a ram as peace offerings, to sacrifice before the Lord, and a grain offering mixed with oil, for today the Lord will appear to you." So they brought what Moses commanded before the tabernacle of meeting, and all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. Then Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord commanded you to do, and the glory of the Lord will appear to you." And Moses said to Aaron, "Go to the altar, offer your sin offering and your burnt offering, and make atonement for yourself and for the people. Offer the offering of the people and make atonement for them as the Lord commanded." Aaron therefore went to the altar and killed the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. Then the sons of Aaron brought the blood to him, and he dipped his finger in the blood and put it on the horns of the altar and poured the blood at the base of the altar. But the fat, the kidneys, and the fatty lobe from the liver of the sin offering he burnt on the altar as the Lord had commanded Moses. The flesh and the hide he burned with fire outside the camp. And he killed the burnt offering, and Aaron's sons presented to him the blood, which he sprinkled all around the altar. Then they presented the burnt offering to him with its pieces and head, and he burned them on the altar. And he washed the entrails and the legs and burned them with the burnt offering on the altar. Then he brought the people's offering and took the goat, which was the sin offering for the people, and killed it and offered it for sin like the first one. And he brought the burnt offering and offered it according to the prescribed manner. Then he brought the grain offering, took a handful of it and burned it on the altar, besides the burnt sacrifice of the morning. He also killed the bull and the ram as sacrifices of peace offerings, which were for the people. And Aaron's sons presented to him the blood, which he sprinkled all around the altar, and the blood from the bull and the ram, the fatty tail, which covers the entrails and the kidneys, and the fatty lobe attached to the liver, and they put the fat on the breasts. Then he turned the fat on the altar, but the breasts and the right thigh Aaron waved as a wave offering before the Lord as Moses had commanded. Then Aaron lifted his hand toward the people, blessed them, and came down from offering the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting and came out and blessed the people. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. The fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. We think we got it sorted? Hopefully? Okay. If it does it again, for my own sake, I'm just going to turn it off, if that's okay. Okay. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this afternoon, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, and we continue our series through the book of Leviticus, we continue to the opening ceremony, if you will, of these first sacrifices of Aaron and his sons to perform. And they will continue doing this worship for the Israelites throughout their ministry. In the consecration of Aaron and his sons, Moses was the one that performed all of those sacrifices, if you remember from chapter 8. But these are the ones that Aaron and his sons perform. This is the beginning of what is to be called the Aaronic priesthood. Now, as we read over these details of the sacrifices that were offered here by Aaron and his sons, we're not going to go over all the different types of sacrifices or the different animals that were offered or the way that they were offered. We have gone through all of that already. But as we just go over that one point, as we think about all the sacrifices that were given, and we think about the way that they were given, that was all to show the sufficiency of Jesus Christ to save his people. I'm just going to turn this off because it's really annoying. Okay. Okay, I don't know, but I can't focus. So, we'll just do this. Sorry about that. Do you want to try? Well, we could try it, but I don't know how to open it. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Oh, part of the movement.
Yeah, figure it out. There you go.
I'm not sorry.
No, that's okay. Patience. The virtue that God loves. Oh, bother, no. Patience. The virtue that God loves to teach us, and that I wish he'd hurry up and teach me already. That sounds better. Maybe that'll work. Okay. We'll see. So, this is the beginning of the Aaronic priesthood, and all of these sacrifices, as I said, all of these sacrifices, the way they're given, is all to show the sufficiency of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to save us from all of our sins. And as we read over this section, there is something that should have stood out to the people observing this. We're not going to get into all the details. We're just going to go big picture here. But as the Israelites are watching this happen, there should have been something that they observed in the whole intricate ceremony of what's happening, that they should have said, this isn't it. This is anticipating something, but this isn't it. There is a problem here. What is the problem? What is offered and who it is being offered by is not sufficient to save from sin. The blood of bulls and goats is not able to satisfy for sin, and the Aaronic priesthood is not sufficient to bring God's people into His presence in and of themselves. They can do so in Christ, but they can't do it in and of themselves. Why? What's the glaring thing in this passage? They had to have sacrifices for themselves first. That doesn't sound like very good mediation. That they would need to be cleansed themselves before they can go into the presence of God to offer sacrifices for the people. Right away here at the opening ceremony, the Israelites should, and Lord willing, many of those who believe did see that this Aaronic priesthood and the sacrifices that were offered were not sufficient to bring them into the presence of God. It was good and it was great only because it pointed forward to the shedding of the blood of Christ and His sufficiency to bring all of His people into His presence. We see this in a lot of different places in Scripture, and the Israelites should have known this throughout all their generations, because we read about this of the Messiah in Psalm 110, verse 4, where we read, "The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of," and they maybe would be expecting Aaron. But that's not what's said there. "According to the order of Melchizedek." That's important. Because what David, as a prophet, before the Lord is saying to us, His people, is that the Messiah is not going to be a Levite. And He's not going to be of the Levitical line or of the Levitical order. He's not going to be a priest like Aaron and his sons. He is going to be of an entirely different sort. His priesthood is a priesthood that will never end. The author of Hebrews makes that very clear. He makes that very point. Sort of as an allegory, because Melchizedek, we're not told when he began, and we're not told when he ended his ministry. And the author of Hebrews makes that glaring point. Jesus' ministry as priest never ends. He is continually our high priest. Unlike the priests like Aaron and all who followed after him. They died. They didn't live forever. Their priesthood was not sufficient in many different ways. And we who live now in the New Testament see that Christ is our only high priest before God and is the only one who can present us before the Father as perfect. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 20 through 8, chapter 8, verse 6, says this, and listen to these words about the betterness of Christ's priesthood. We read, "And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said to him, 'The Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek,' by so much more Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Also there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing, but he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weaknesses. But the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son, who has been perfected forever. Now this is the main point of things we are saying. We have such a high priest, who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the Majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected, and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things. As Moses was divinely instructed, when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, "See that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. The author of Hebrews is making it abundantly clear that what we have in Christ is sufficient to bring us into the presence of God. Something that the Aaronic priesthood and the blood of bulls and goats could never do. Our brothers and sisters in the Old Testament came into the presence of God all because of what the tabernacle and the temple ministry pointed forward to. And they could come confidently, knowing that the Messiah would sufficiently provide access for them to the Father's throne and present them faultless before that very throne. And if they, brothers and sisters, were given assurance that they were God's people and were welcomed into His presence, how much more we who have seen and heard the great things that Jesus Christ, our only high priest, has done and accomplished for us. We have every reason to come, as the author of Hebrews says, boldly before the throne of grace. Because that is just how great and sufficient the blood of our Savior is. So now, I ask you, how important is it to you that you have been brought into the presence of God by the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? How important is that to you? Is what we are doing here, gathering together as God's people, to receive the means of grace, the preaching of the Word and the sacraments, if this is what's happening, where we are actually ushered into God's presence as His people, is this time, is this the high point of your week? Or is it something else? How important to you is this time? Because that tells you something about how important it is to you in your life to be in the presence of God. You think about your life. On what days of your life was the most preparation given for that particular day? I think it has something to do with this cord here. No, we'll keep that away. Here we go. I've got it figured out now. I'll do that. There we go. How important is this day to you? As you think about your life, on what days of your life is the most preparation given? What day of your life did you have structured and ordered with all kinds of things? In our society, there are a few days that are like that. A wedding day, right? All kinds of detail for everything throughout the day. It's a big and grand and glorious day. And we take tons of time in preparing for it. Funerals as well. There's a lot of time and a lot of order that's given to days in which we bury our loved ones. How it's all going to happen. The food that's prepared, right? All these things are all laid out because it is important to us. Big family reunions or celebrations of our parents', 50th anniversary or something like that. There's lots of celebration that happens, and there's all kinds of events and food that's organized because they are important. We can think of the coming coronation of a new king in the British Empire. And the British surely know one thing, pomp and circumstance. They've got that down. And there's all kinds of detail of what everyone is to wear and how they're all supposed to behave and where they're supposed to go, when they're supposed to go there, what they're supposed to say. All because they understand the importance of what is happening. Children, you may wonder as we read places in Scripture like Leviticus 9, where there's lots of detail that's given here about all the things that happened on this day. You may wonder, why is it there? Well, there's a lot of reasons it's there, but one of them is because God is telling us that being in His presence is really important. And it is, as much as we prepare and get ready and make all kinds of effort to make other days special, the days in which we are in the direct presence of God as His people are far more special than that. Just as on our biggest and most important days, they are filled with all kinds of preparation, detail, and intense planning to make them special, so our God here is telling us, being in My presence is the most wonderful, most glorious, and most beautiful thing that you will ever see or experience. Our worship services have a special and specific order to them. Detail in all the various elements of worship. The Lord's Supper is a celebration, and though it's simple, it contains beautiful detail that expresses the joy and blessing we have to come into the presence of the Lord and to dine with Him, partaking of Him. That we get to sit at the King's table and eat unto everlasting life His broken body and His shed blood, which was given for the complete forgiveness of all of our sins. For Christ gave up His life in order that He would pay for us to have eternal life in His presence. Wedding days are wonderful. All other kinds of godly celebrations are good and beneficial. But being in the presence of God should far surpass them all. David didn't say two or three things I've desired of the Lord. He said one thing: to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to gaze or behold the beauty of the Lord. And what a beauty it is to behold in the face of our Savior the one who is the fullness of divinity and the one who died for you. The one who is all glorious, wondrous in splendor, infinite in majesty, perfect in power and wisdom beyond our finding out. My brothers and sisters, behold your Savior as He is. Can you imagine what it will be like on that day when we shall see the one who bore the crown, who shows you the holes in His hands and His feet, to know that He did that for you? That day is coming. It is fast approaching for us all. And what a day that will be. My brothers and sisters, we have now to see only through a veil, but one day we shall see face to face. This earthly feast the Lord has spread before you. And your Savior, who loves you more than you could possibly ever know, now says to you, come. Come and dine with me. You who were lost and wretched poor and sinful, come and enter now into my rest. He says that now to you, and one day he will say that in completeness and fullness. Look forward to that day. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence with thankfulness and joy to know that you are our God and that we are your people. Oh Lord, help us to see the glory of our Savior and the preciousness of his blood which he shed for us. May you, O Lord, receive glory now and forevermore. And may as we receive now Holy Communion, we pray that you would feed and nourish our hearts with the satisfaction of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.